Identify Yourself is our series on church membership. And we're taking a new look this year at church membership. In the past, when I became a member, you went to a weekend retreat and learned all about it. And then we got to where you would do a series of classes. And then most recently, an interview with elders and be examined and approved. Each of these processes had different problems along the way and different things that were good about them. So this year we're taking another look, and we decided, what if we describe in detail, as much as we can, what a fully participating member looks like? And then we allow people to decide for themselves if that description fits them. And we give people a chance to live it out for a year. Try it on. And then we come back the next year and we describe it again and let people ask themselves, have I been what I said I would be? Have I been what I wanted to be? And if not, am I up for trying to grow into that again this coming year? Identify yourself. And what if we're very careful to say that there are a lot of levels of belonging to a church? There are many levels of participation. Even if you're agnostic, you know, you believe in God, but not necessarily Jesus, but you come and you explore and you take part in the ministries here because, you know, as someone said in their testimony last week, Jesus or no Jesus, serving the poor and changing the world is an important thing to do. Isn't that person participating with us at some level? Certainly, they call this their church. So a fully participating member is a particular type, a particular deep level of belonging that says, I buy into all the visions and values of this church. I'm a family member. I'm an owner of what this community believes and stands for. I'm not just riding on the boat. I'm rowing the boat. I'm not just coming to the party. I'm throwing the party. And when the chips are down around here, I'll be offended if you don't ask me to make some sacrifice to help, because this is my church too. That's a fully participating member. So at the end of this series, all of us will have the opportunity to make a declaration of full participation and say, what you've described, that's me. Or to make a declaration of someone who is interested in exploring full participation. Says, there's a couple of things on there. I'm not sure yet, but I want to look into it. You know, I'm intrigued. Or a declaration of saying, I'm not sure where I'm at with you people, but I love being part of the church nonetheless. And all those are important things to say and to know about yourself. So we have grouped this description of a fully participating member under the headings of surrender, together, and love. And last week we talked about surrender, so this week I'd like to share with you the things that fall under the heading together. To start out with that, I'd like to read you a passage that has always disturbed me from the Bible, the Gospel of Luke, chapter 6. Jesus has a big decision to make. It says, now during those days, he went out to the mountain to pray, and he spent the night in prayer with God. And when day came, he called his disciples, and he chose 12 of them, whom he also named apostles: Simon, whom he named Peter, and his brother Andrew, and James, and John, Philip, and Bartholomew, and Matthew, and Thomas, and James, son of Alphaeus, and Simon, who was called the Zealot, and Judas, son of James, and Judas Iscariot, who became a traitor. So he prayed all night, and he still managed to pick Judas Iscariot, who became a traitor? I wonder if he shouldn't have prayed two nights about that. I mean, and what's up with Judas Iscariot becoming a traitor? I mean, how could he be there walking, living with Jesus on the road day and night for 3 years and not get it? I mean, the Gospel of John says that Judas was the treasurer and that he was stealing from the money purse they used to run the ministry. And then when he betrayed Jesus, he betrays him for money. I mean, how could he be under the teaching of the greatest rabbi ever and miss it that badly? How can he be offered this gift from God, this gift to be in the inner circle of the inner circle of the Son of God, and not take that gift? I think it happens all the time. You can take the church, for instance. Take our church, for instance. It is an opportunity to be part of the inner circle of what God is trying to do in our community. And we offer hundreds of opportunities to serve that cause, and hundreds of people take those opportunities. Yet there are always a few who don't. And I've seen it over and over again, inevitably, they're the ones who after 2 or 3 years are wandering away, muttering, well, I just don't feel connected. Well, I'm just not getting anything from church. I'm just not being fed. We also offer an active small groups ministry here, because in a church this size, you just can't know everyone. But you can know some people very well, and you can walk a Christian life together with them. And so we have people that meet in homes, and they study the scriptures, or they study Christian books, or they pray together. There's so many benefits to small groups. We say they provide strength for the storms of life when the storms come. They provide wisdom for making good decisions, confidentiality and accountability for spiritual health. There is strength, reliability, and assurance in community. We have a motto that says, no one stands alone, no one struggles alone, serves alone, develops alone, seeks alone, or even grows up alone. We try to make sure all the children in this church are in a small group too. Because a small group is friends for the journey. Folks that help us stay on the path that we want to be on. It's a wonderful gift God gives us, and that gift is each other. See, he gives us Jesus, who dies for our sins on the cross and reconciles us to God. But in doing that, he teaches us about love and courage and forgiveness. And those teachings help us to reconcile to each other. God gives us each other. He gives us our family back. He gives us our friends back. He gives us our communities back. And yet, we have had people in small groups reading books about sin, discussing the sin in their life, supposedly, until it comes out later that they had this secret sin that no one ever knew about. We've had folks in couples' small groups, some of them specifically studying how to improve a marriage, you know, under the care of Jesus Christ. Go through the whole thing. And it never comes out that this couple has this secret struggle until they're already drifted apart. We've had people with accountability partners. Accountability partners, some of you get with and say, look, I have these spiritual goals in my life. I want to be like Jesus. But I have these temptations, too, that I face every week. I could just use someone to talk to about those, to help navigate that, to pray with me. And they get together, you know, and they're supposed to be talking about things that matter. We have had people in those relationships fall into adultery, fall into rampant spending. Some of them have been arrested. And then everyone goes and asks the accountability group, what happened to them? The accountability group, you know, with a lot of shame and embarrassment, says, I don't know. I don't know. It never came up. It never came up. You didn't know? Well, that must just tell us that small groups and accountability and all that stuff is really a terrible support system, because how could you not know? How did Jesus pray all night, manage to pick Judas Iscariot? Well, you might say, the gospel does say that Jesus knew the hearts of all men as soon as he met them, and that he knew Jesus was a betrayer, and he wasn't taken by surprise by that. I will grant that possibility. So maybe the problem is on the other side. Maybe the problem wasn't with the selector, but the selectee. Maybe the problem was with Judas. It seems that God's giving us this gift of each other, but you have to take the gift. The gift only works if you take it. And you have to bring a gift of your own, the real you. So here's how the story usually goes. A group of men or a group of women, I'll use a group of women for my example, but it happens on both sides. A group of women get together and they say, I have these spiritual goals I want to reach in my life. I want to be surrender, and I want to live out together in love. And yet I have these temptations, and I have these faults, and I have all of this sin in my life, but I could use a group of people that would come around me that I could share my struggles with. And in confidentiality, we would pray for one another. We would help each other stay on the path. We would suggest ways to keep the goals that we have set. You know, we would be one. And so the group starts meeting, and they start meeting for breakfast, or they start meeting for lunch or dinner or something like that. And usually what happens in the group is we'll emerge one or two confessors. You know, the persons, they come in and they say, okay, I messed it all up this week. Oh, I got it really, really wrong again. Could you pray for me? Could you help me? Where did I go wrong? I mean, speak some wisdom to me, because I want to be different than this. And then there's usually a few in the group who always report, everything's fine with me. I didn't experience any temptations this week. I didn't have any real struggles. Everything's fine. And the confessors tend to start feeling really kind of dirty. Like, what's wrong with me? Why is my life always off the rails and everybody else is fine? They don't seem to have struggles. Why is it always me who's messing up? What's wrong with me? Ah, and then it comes out. And then it comes out that those people who are sitting there off to the side saying, oh, things are fine, nothing going on here, their life is a train wreck. It is a train wreck, and it's never coming up, and no one knows about it till they lose their house, lose their marriage, lose their job. And then it is revealed that they sit there for week after week, and they lied. They said everything was fine, and nothing was fine. And the group didn't do them a bit of good, because the real them never showed up. They put this fake facade them into the group. The real them stayed back here, shielded from what power God gives us through togetherness to change. Protected themselves from that power. Just like Judas. The same goes for serving in ministry. We have hundreds of people who volunteer, and they get to see Christianity from a vantage point very few people ever get to see it from the inside, from someone who's a soldier in the kingdom of God, a servant. And they grow and they bloom because of that. They see and experience things they never would otherwise. And then there's a subset of those folks who start to get busy. They go back to school. Their kids become involved in a lot of activities. They take a promotion. They just get real busy. And some of those pull away from the church. They say, look, I need to, for the sake of my family, do something away from here. C.S. Lewis says that they'll say they need some time to find their way in the world. But what happens is the world finds its way into them. And pretty soon they're separated from the community of Christ, and that doesn't go well. And then there are those people who went back to school, and they kids got in activities, and they got promotions, but they made some very specific sacrifices, and they weathered the storm and stayed together. And they have friends and the protection, even I'll say, of Jesus all the way through their journey. Now, isn't that ironic that the folks who made a decision they thought was saving their family destroyed it? And the folks who took a harder path that others would have said was the wrong path turned out to be right. Probably a better story is the one I'm about to share with you. A couple months ago, we asked people just to come and sit down and tell us your spiritual story. And we just gave an open mic, and if they had babies, the babies sat right there on their lap, and we just said, just tell us your story. And this story, unconnected to this message until now, came out, and I'd like to share that with you, and I'd like you to hear the value of together that this couple is about to share with you. This is Matthew and Christy Hogan, audio only. This is their story.
I remember that after our first child, Maddie, was born, our marriage kind of sank to probably the lowest point And I think the problem was that we didn't really prepare ourselves for what life with children was going to be like. And we thought that it would be a good idea to step back from church and get out of a small group so that we'd have more time for each other. And what we found was that didn't really work very well. And I think that we both kind of realized that small group made our marriage better, even when we thought we didn't have time for it. And so a couple years later, when we got back into small group, it was almost a night and day difference in our marriage. I mean, almost, I don't know if you agree with that, but it was almost an immediate difference.
Yeah, I agree. I think when that happened and we were kind of going through that period where I felt like we were kind of falling away from group and falling away from Lakeland, falling away from each other, I just kept saying, well, this is normal. Right now I have to put she has to be the priority in our life, and that's the way it is. I didn't realize by pulling away from all that, we were pulling away from our relationship with God, and we needed that to be the central aspect of our relationship to continue to grow. And we weren't growing, we were growing apart.
Yeah, the sad truth was that without a couple small group, without the dedicated time to talk about God in our marriage, we just flat didn't do it.
Mm-hmm.
And so we got together with a bunch of other couples, and I mean, I think that we have the greatest small group right now I could ever imagine. And yeah. So here we are today, and we have our second child.
Yeah, I think God set the stage for this group. We weren't even talking about having another child when we went into it. But he was there. He put, like Matthew said, he put the right group of couples together. And then we, as leaders, really have been the ones who are challenged the most, I think. Every time we get together with these folks, I walk away feeling more challenged. I don't feel like I'm leading the group. I feel like they're leading me most of the time. So it's fantastic.
I think one of the things that I'm just dreading in the back of my mind is the fact that sooner or later we have to split up our group. We have to you know, send some of those couples out to create a small group of their own, because every couple in our small group is very capable of leading their own group.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And they have so much to offer other people. And that's part of the commission of small groups, is that you get together and you create this wonderful thing, and then you got to break it apart because you have to share it.
Yeah.
You have to send it out to others.
Well, and I personally struggle with it because, I mean, I think we finally got, I mean, I think of all the small groups we've had in the past, and yeah, we're still friends with those couples, but we don't have that relationship, and I'm afraid of losing that. You know, I want to be able to still have that intimacy, and I feel like unless you do see those people pretty consistently, it's not there anymore. And so that's my fear. So it's kind of a balance of how long do you stay together versus how long do you say, okay, it's time that you guys, you know, share the wealth, or, you know, pay it forward.
If you could videotape our group, it would either be an example of the best way in the world to do small group or the worst, because we just, you know, we are all over the place, and everybody is open and sharing, and at the same time, everybody is in somebody else's business, mm-hmm. and exploring aspects of your life that you really don't want explored sometimes, but you need to have explored. It's funny, and it's painful, and it's hopeful, and it's everything all wrapped up into one.
God has given us a gift of each other, but you have to take the gift. And you have to bring a gift of your own, the real you. So this gift of each other falls under our together banner. And the elders have come up with a description of what a full participant does Because you can participate at Lakeland at many levels, but if you're going to fully participate, you must take the gift of together that God gives, and you must give the gift of the real you in return. So you have a trifold, I think, in the middle panel talks about together. So let's read through this together. Small group. Full participants walk together with other Christians. Full participants seek out small groups, accountability groups, and or spiritual mentorship to live honestly, authentically, and transparently in community. There is no hiddenness in their lives. And these small groups or one-on-one relationships, the full participant knows, loves, serves, and celebrates others. And all that about not being hidden and seeking out and being transparent, that's all for you to do. No group can make you do that. No group is responsible to know what's going on. It's your responsibility to bring the real you. We sang earlier in one of our songs, to God, your love beckons me to stretch myself. Well, here it is. Always be careful what you sing in those praise songs. This is the place where you learn about people. You know people. You learn their life history. They learn yours. I've been in 5 or 6 small groups in 12 years here in the church, and that's where I've gotten to know friends. And I've gotten to know my, I didn't ask permission to tell any of this, so this will be fun. I hope we're still friends. But I got to know, my friend Greg Moore used to be like a motorcycle riding rebel, and now he's an IT computer guy. And my friend Ken McCrary used to take down shoplifters for JCPenney's with karate, and now he's an elementary school principal. Everybody gets domesticated over time. And they get to know things about me. It's a place to serve and to be served. I helped Ken paint his daughter's bedroom, and I helped Rob and Greg and Ken too move into houses, and they helped me move into my house. When I went off to seminary, the Moores bought me the backpack I used to carry my computer and books in for the whole run. And the Bars brought my daughter some My Little Pony dolls for no reason at all. It's a place to celebrate together. We go to each other's weddings and baby showers, and we go out for Christmas dinners, and we went out one time with our small group to the Melting Pot, which is totally awesome, but really expensive. And, Dave Ramsey said he shouldn't do that, but that was before that. But at the end of the dinner, our friends the Armstrongs paid for our dinner as a Christmas gift. These are the people that I love, and these are the people that love me. And if you'll stick it out for several years and bring the real you to small group, you can have all of that too. Mission. Full participants promote and defend the peace, purity, and unity of Lakeland Community Church and the church around the world. There's no unaddressed or unresolved conflict as far as it's up to them. They neither listen to nor speak gossip. They relinquish individualism and cling to the oneness of the church. The full participant submits to the spiritual oversight and discipline of the elders. When there's something going on amongst us, we go and deal with that. We have this, do the hard conversation that says, what you did was offensive to me. It hurt my feelings. I am angry. We need to talk. Every once in a while, as an elder, I have to say, you need to talk to so-and-so. I can tell they've made you mad and you're just stewing on it. And the appropriate response is, all right. Because we are on a mission together. We can't be internally divided. That's how Satan destroys the church, from the inside. Everybody's always worried about all these enemies outside going to take down the church. All the footholds come from within. Serve. Full participants serve in ministry with other Christ followers in order to further the gospel. They do this through the gifting and empowerment of the Holy Spirit. We have about 11 staff, and they do some amazing ministry, but one of the most amazing ministries they do is to hold the door open so that all of you have an opportunity to take part in the gospel too. So far this morning, a volunteer has helped you enjoy church in the following ways. printed, folded, and handed you a program and said, good morning, seven volunteers. Picked candle wax off your seat, the one you sit in, not, okay. Scrubbed scuff marks off the front of the seat in front of you and swept and vacuumed the floor under your feet. Two volunteers, maybe one this week. Prepared a gift basket for the friend you invited last week, made a map to their house, and delivered the basket. Six volunteers. Made you coffee, decorated the lobby, cleaned up donut crumbs after you left. Four volunteers. Preparing a lunch for you after this service, maybe. Most services. Five volunteers. Taught your children and your students the scriptures through stories, small groups, drama, and singing. Signed them in and out safely and praying for them throughout the week. 60 volunteers just today. Praying for you right now at the back of the room, ready to pray with you and for you every service. Three volunteers. Running lights, video, sound, so you can hear and see what's happening right now. Directing the flow of the morning. Five volunteers. Playing instruments and singing to lead us in worship to God, five volunteers. And we're just getting started, and I've only talked about the things that happen for this 1 hour slice on Sunday. I don't have time for the ministries that go on all through the week. And every single one of these volunteers could use a hand. You will see the kingdom of God right up close when you serve. When a child hears that God loves them for the very first time, you'll see that moment if you serve. When the pastors and the artists and the technicians are talking about how what this Sunday morning service is going to be about and what we hope that we'll accomplish and why it's so important and we're praying for it and what we're going to do to make sure it has the power to impact someone's life, you'll hear all that discussion and all that excitement if you're involved and you serve. When someone comes through our front doors and they look real kind of nervous and out of place because maybe they've never been to church before, never been to church for years, and then their face brightens up because some stranger comes up and says, good morning, can I help you find something? You'll see their face brightened up if you're the stranger who comes up to them and says, good morning, welcome, can I help you find something? You will be spiritually filled if you serve. Let's go back up to worship. Full participants take part in worship through singing, prayer, service, and living a life which honors God at every opportunity, both with the gathered church and alone. Even one of the worship songs today said, sing with me, how great is our God. So we come and we do that. But also, when you depart from this place, your whole life can become an act of worship. You may not believe it now, but you can come to the point when you sit down to play chutes and ladders with your kid. And in just half a second, you'll pray, God, thank you for this moment to have some fun, to be one with my kid. I pray that, you know, they'll win so we can avoid that thing at the end. But let me just be here in the moment, me, them, and you. In the essentials, as part of the people of God, full participants adhere to and agree with the essentials of our faith as they are here expressed. Now, the essentials probably could have a message series of their own, but time being what it is, we've printed them here. I think they're all fairly clear. Let me explain what an essential belief is. There are lots of things you can believe in Christianity. I know that some of you believe that women should not preach or be elders or anything like that. I happen to disagree, and women preach and elders, but you know what? We're still brothers and sisters in Christ. We still do ministry together. We don't divide over that. There are others of you who don't believe, for instance, that Jesus was the Son of God. We are friends, and we have a great relationship, and you're involved here in our church, but we're not brothers and sisters in Christ because that's an essential belief. And we just don't think the same thing about Jesus. There's something a little bit different about it, well, a lot bit different between us. So do you see the difference between an essential and a non-essential? So a full participant would want to be able to say, I believe in these things, and I will cling to these, and I will not divide over the others. So God is offering a gift to us, and it's each other. That you have to take the gift, and you have to bring a gift of your own, the real you. And in moments when people fall and we're discouraged, let us remember grace from last week. And let us also remember that for every Judas, there are 11 Peter, Thomas, James, John, Andrew, Philip, Bartholomew, Thaddeus, James, Simon, and Matthew who do give of themselves, even to the point of death. This is the paradox of Christianity, one of them. We find in Luke chapter 9 that those who want to save their life lose it. Those who try to hole up, cocoon up, make it on their own, keep others at bay, they end up losing their life. And those who lose their life for Jesus' sake, save it. They come and they give themselves away and they make themselves open and vulnerable. Ironically, they put themselves out there and that saves their life. So let us pray together. Lord God, that we could be one as you prayed, that we would accept the gift of each other and bring the real us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We have a couple of opportunities for you to move toward this full participation today if you'd like. One, we have Connection Point. Now, we announced that Connection Point was here up front, and Charlie was right. At that time, it was, but we've since moved it just between then and now. It's going to be out at the Connection Point table in the lobby, which I'm about to talk about here in just a moment. So that's a place where you can investigate what it would be like for you to be in a small group. Now, small groups being what they are in time and schedule and stuff, the best you may be able to do is wind up on our small group waiting list. If that is the best we're able to do for you at this point, I want you to know you're still a full participant because you have sought out a small group. Something happened on our end and we're not able to provide it right at that moment. That could happen to some, but you're still a full participant because you sought it out, and we're going to fix that real fast. Okay, and then serving. Today, when you go out into this lobby, you're going to encounter something that's totally crazy. You're going to encounter our ministry fair. Almost all the teams from the church are out there to show you different opportunities there are to serve. And you can walk around and you'll probably be amazed in some points and say, well, I didn't know you could do that for the cause of Jesus Christ. So if you are not serving and you want to move toward that, or if you've been serving, but it's in a smaller area and you think, I could do a little more. I would like to do a little more. Or if you're serving in an area and you hate it, it's killing you, and you want to do something different, that's cool. Go out and explore the ministry fair. And even if you're serving up to your neck, they have done an at the movies theme. So there is free popcorn out there, and each team has selected a movie, and they've done these movie posters, and there's something a little creepy about each movie poster, and it'd be worth your time to go look at all of them. So now, no one is going to sign you up for their team today. All they want to do is give you some basic information and then sign you up for some second conversation, a lunch, a phone call, another meeting, a chance to come shadow, observe what they do for a day. So no one's making a commitment to any team today, but just a commitment to explore it further. Right, everyone clear on that? So you'll want, if you have children, you'll want to check them out of Kids Zone and then come back for the ministry fair. And that'll give you a look at ministry, and we're also going to do that right now. The team has put together a series of pictures from years here at Lakeland, most very recent, of an opportunity for you to see folks serving and living out togetherness in action. So let's do that together, and then I'll give you the benediction, and we'll go explore. That God knows everything about you, still found you worth loving, giving his life for. So you can come out into the light. You can be loved. Even when the light of Christ shines on you, even your shadow is charged with healing power. So let us be together. Amen.